again, and welcome to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. I'm your host, certified sex therapist Lori Watson, author of Wanting Sex Again, and blogger at Psychology Today and WebMD. And I have with me Dr. Adam Matthews, my co-host, who's a couples therapist, psychotherapist, and president of NCAMFT. Foreplay is dedicated to helping couples keep it hot. Each episode, we cover an aspect of sex that impacts your sex life and something that you can relate to. So if you find our discussions helpful, please give us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. We would love it if you would tell a friend about us. You can find us also on the web at foreplayrst.com. And if you have a comment or a topic that you'd like us to talk about, we'd love to hear from you. Please send them to us at info@foreplayrst.com. Thanks for listening. Now on to today's topic.
Hey, Lori.
Hey. How are you?
Hi. I am good. I got my caffeine going, so that makes
God.
Me... Thank God.
Thank
God, indeed.
Adam needs his coffee.
Yeah. Doesn't matter what form it's in. Just give it to me.
So, that's right.
We're almost to Christmas.
That is amazing.
Right? It's gone so... The year has gone in a blink of an eye.
Wow.
But you'll have special Christmas plans?
No, we're staying home and having our kids all around and just relaxing. I'm taking a lot of time off.
Oh, that's
Yay!
Good.
Yay.
Good for you.
Yeah, just it's been a busy year.
Yeah, we are taking time off, but I don't feel like it's really going to be a vacation as I'm trekking across the country with my offspring.
That is not a vacation.
No, it is not a vacation.
That is not a vacation.
Not a vacation. But
no.
Thank goodness for... DVDs and car systems.
Yeah, right? Oh my gosh.
I never thought I would be that parent, but we are thankful for 14-hour car rides go much, much better when we can pop in that media babysitter
and let them zone out for a little bit. Absolutely. I don't know how people survive without it.
I do not either.
I know. So. But I got my first Christmas present today.
Yes. What was that?
Double ovens.
Double ovens.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. I know. I've lived my whole life without double ovens, and I'm a cook.
I can't believe you got through all those years without
double ovens.
That's
that was
amazing.
Really crazy. We should have done that forever ago.
So what exactly is a double oven? I have absolutely no
idea.
Well,
I have a convection oven and a regular oven, and I have no idea how to use the convection oven. So.
Okay. But you need it.
But I need it.
Ah, absolutely.
I got to learn. You know, because then, you know, when you make big meals, you got to have both.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
So I'll be learning a lot.
Okay. Well, maybe sometime you'll have us over and we can make a big feast in your
double
oven. That
would be really nice. Awesome. We'll have to do that.
Okay. Well, we're talking about the ghost of Christmas past today.
The ghost of Christmas past.
As Christmas approaches, right? What do we mean by that?
I have lots of patients right now who are coming in with memories and grief. I mean, I think... that the holidays, not necessarily Christmas, and you know, but they bring up this, you know, evokes kind of the pain of all the family stuff, right?
I mean,
you're gathering with your family. That's a replication of all the issues in your family.
There's a lot of family expectations around the holidays, right?
And there's memories of you know, drunk Alan, you know, drunk Uncle Alan at the party, or your parents' divorce, the first Christmas after your parents' divorce.
Or if you've lost somebody around the holidays.
Yeah, exactly. Blue Christmases.
Or if it's your first holiday without somebody that you've lost. Those things can be really painful. But yeah, they bring up and they evoke a lot of not just memories but feelings, right? And some of them you may not even know are connected to those memories, right? But the feelings are very, very similar, and you're reacting a lot of times out of those places, right?
Right. And I think that it, you know, it reminds us of deep family patterns. I guess the sleeping with the ghost of Christmas past is, how does sex, you know, how is that impacted by our family history, of course, and Christmas particularly. I think about the holidays, and the gift is often the perfect gift, right?
Yeah.
Comes to us from parents who basically know us, you know, who care enough to really know who we are, to know what our developmental needs are, to know what we're longing for, and to care enough about that to get us the special gift. I mean, that's one of the issues.
Yeah.
And I think that the whole idea of Santa Claus, while, you know, sometimes we do write letters to Santa Claus, is that it's this idea that we don't have to ask. That this magic is
you know, something that we dearly want just kind of appears, right? He knows, right? Mm. He knows what we want. And then, of course, it's that there's resource. Mm. You know, our parents have enough resource to give to us. And all of these things, if they don't happen, right, if our parents are not as involved with us to even know what we want or there's not enough resource to give us what we want. You know, our parents are in poverty or they're sick or, you know, in any other way they're gone, absent, abandoned, you know, that there's not enough resource or that maybe we did ask, you know, for this special gift and it didn't come.
Yeah.
You know, because for many, many reasons it doesn't. And all of these things, you know, build up inside of us.
Mm. Yeah. I have a friend, I think that is his 3-year-old right now is asking for fake boulders and a goat. Like that's just when you said they ask and we don't give it to them. So I was just thinking, how is my friend going to be able to give his kid fake boulders and a goat? That's like that's his heart's desire right now. He said, my friend said, where in the world do I get, like, the goat's out of the question, but where in the world do I even start looking for fake boulders?
Well, you can get those things that cover the electrical outlets and you know, stuff like that, I guess.
Yeah maybe. I guess something
fake
like that.
Boulders on the hillside where the goat is.
I suppose. But yeah. So anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, so sometimes the things we ask for are impractical. And you know, but I think that the ghost of Christmas past is when we do ask or when we do expect, we do wish and long for something, especially sexually, and then we see across our partner's face, you know, something that reminds us of the ungiving family, the family that couldn't meet our needs, didn't meet our needs. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes that flash is very real. It's like suddenly I'm looking and I'm like, oh, my gosh, you're just like my father or... Yeah. You're just like my mother.
And we're reacting to that person rather than to our partner.
Right. We see the apparition instead of who our partner really is.
Right. And do you think it has it's also that kind of knowing us piece that maybe our partner doesn't know us as well as we thought they did or they don't automatically know, right?
They don't automatically know.
Without us having to be explicit and say, this is actually what I need.
Yes.
The frustration is they don't know how I like to be touched. They don't know the passion level that I like to have sex at. Like they just don't know me.
Right, which is the wounding that runs deeper if our parents didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, if they didn't see us as unique and really get who we were. Mm. I mean, suddenly that's the bad replication, right? Yeah. It's a repeat of something that we were familiar with. It's this feeling that here we go again. And we begin to feel like marriage or committed partnership has tricked us and trapped us. You know that it's a bad spirit.
Yeah.
You know, and now, oh my gosh, we're trapped.
Yeah, not just trapped in a bad marriage too, but just trapped with somebody who doesn't know us and is not responding to those needs, which obviously gets very frustrating. I see that a lot. I think of couples who are just reacting to they're reacting emotionally and sexually to their partner as if they are somebody else because they don't hear their partner's voice, right? They hear parents or they hear other family members that may have hurt them or anything else, but they don't really hear their partner in that. Right.
I mean, their partner actually may really want to meet their needs. Mm. And right, because our partner has their own world going on, you know, all kinds of things that we're replicating for them. But we instead see through to the ungiving parent. You know, we've had a lot of letters recently from sexual pursuers who really want us to represent them. And yeah, of course, right? The pursuers writing. Although I have had a lot of letters recently from sexual distancers, women who have said things like, you know, gosh, just listening to you talk, I feel more comfortable talking about sex. And I got to say, we're so grateful for your letters, for your encouragement. I mean, we get more encouragement, you know, from letters and emails and things that it really keeps us going.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Thank you.
But I think that, you know, the sexual pursuer says, you know, basically comes to this point of saying, well, it's really foolish for me to expect anything or to ask for what I want. And then there's this depression and sadness of, and we want to help them get through the ghost of Christmas past.
Yeah.
You know, I think that it's particularly this woman, Selma Freyberg, who is, she's a writer, an analyst. She's gone now, but she wrote something about ghosts in the nursery. Mm. And basically, these are parts that are often unremembered from our parents. Mm. And they come up in pair bonding as well. Anything that we haven't resolved with our parents gets enacted with our own children and gets enacted with our partners.
So it just gets passed down from generation to generation.
It does. Really. That's how the things get passed down is we think that our partner is just like our parent who doesn't want to give to us, doesn't want to be in tune with us, is incapable. I mean, I have so many people who start therapy who say, well, my partner just isn't sexual.
Mm.
You know, and then when I talk to them, it's like, that's not true. They really are sexual.
Yeah.
They're not exactly attuned, but it's really the dynamic between the couple that has created this push-pull away that they're not connecting. I mean, I have not sat with a couple, honestly, where the sexual pursuer is so frustrated and I can't see the way through that they ought to be, the sexual pursuer ought to be with their partner, that would change everything.
Yeah.
I mean, if they, part of it is tuning in. You know, if they would really listen to what their partner says they want. And I know sometimes sexual distancers say crazy things, you know, like, well, I just don't want to be sexual or I don't care about sex. And you hear that if you're a sexual pursuer, that is utter defeat. So I get that.
But I think the distancer, though, is often reacting to the pursuer in a way that
it's reaction.
That is a ghost as well.
Yes.
Right? I mean, they are reacting as if.
To the critical demanding parent.
That's right.
You know, the parent who says you're not good enough. You're not enough. No matter what, you're not enough.
Yeah, that was just, and so they often, I think, just have to get defensive because too much was demanded of them. And so they're getting, when the pursuer says, this is what I need, they start to get defensive and say, no, but that's going to compromise my need. Right?
Exactly. Exactly. It really, try to believe us out there. Try to believe us.
Right.
It's dynamic. That means you're pushing, they're pulling away.
Mm-hmm.
There is a way through. I mean, there is always a way through.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, I know some marriages can't work, but overall, there's a way through. And let's come back and talk about the ghosts of Christmas past some more after our break. You're listening to 4Play Radio Sex Therapy with Dr. Adam Matthews and sex therapist Lori Watson.
Wanting sex again. How to rediscover desire and heal a sexless marriage by certified sex therapist Lori Watson.
Each chapter is designed to fix one of the problems that cause low libido from early marriage through the childbearing years, even all the way through menopause. I've also had men read it and tell me that for them it was the most hopeful thing they read about resolving sexual problems.
Look for Wanting Sex Again on Amazon.com. You can also talk to Lori Watson for therapy in person or via Skype.
I offer couples counseling and sex therapy, and I think about both aspects of the relationship, emotional intimacy and sexual technique, and that combination together helps marriages be happy.
Improve your sex and improve your relationship with Awakening Center for Couples and Intimacy. Find out more at awakenloveandsex.com. Awaken what's possible.
Hi, I'm Dr. Adam Matthews, and I want to welcome you to Matthews Counseling. At Matthews Counseling, we believe it is our job to come alongside you in whatever difficult challenges of life you are in and help you rediscover hope and to find the strength that you have to face those challenges. We believe in people, specifically that no two people are alike and therefore they need solutions that are unique to them. We strive to create a safe and comfortable place for you to explore who you want to be and identify the obstacles standing in your way. Oftentimes, the first step toward finding help is the hardest, but it can also be the bravest. At MatthewsCounseling.net, we strive to help make the first step easy. There, you will find our blog with some great resources from our therapist. You'll also find a link to our client portal where you can schedule directly with our therapist at your convenience. We offer free 30-minute consultations, either in person or over the phone, so the first step is at no cost to you. Give us a call at 919-587-8018, or again, find us online at MatthewsCounseling.net. We look forward to working with you.
Okay, back with 4Play Radio Sex Therapy. Yeah. Your example.
Oh, yeah.
Adam, I was gonna tell us.
And this happens with almost every couple. Like it's really amazing to watch where they are reacting to not the things that are being said in the room. I had a couple recently where her big concern was about him seeing her and coming toward her and caring about the relationship and mm-hmm. treating her kindly. And he's the pursuer, she's the distancer, and he was talking about the difficulty in meeting her and meeting her needs, right? And he was expressing some really good stuff. It was hard stuff, but it was really good stuff. Mm. And she, her reaction to that was more of the same, right? Mm-hmm. It was very clear. And if I could have played it back for him, they would have, and I told him this, if I could have played it back for him, they would have been able to see it really clearly that her reaction was not to what he was saying. Because yeah. if she'd have been listening to what he was saying, again, it was hard, it was difficult, but it was about how much he cared about her and how much he wanted to meet her needs, how much he wanted to be there for her. But he was also talking about his difficulty in being able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But she could only hear
his difficulty.
Right. She couldn't hear the intention behind it.
Yeah.
And so she kind of blew up. Like she, mm-hmm. her reaction was very, it was very big, right? Mm-hmm. And it was very emotional to what he was saying. And so, but being able to stop her, right? When I ask her, what did you hear in that? Right,
mm-hmm.
to repeat back what he had said, and she couldn't. She totally missed it. She caught like one piece.
She heard the ghost.
She heard the ghost. Right,
that was all she heard.
And she got scared of that ghost, and she
yeah,
reacted
exactly.
Right? And so that reaction was typically what was asking. It happens all the time in what they're doing, and it gets very confusing for the partner who's trying to express some really good things for them, but they can only hear the ghost. And it happens with both sides, right?
Yeah.
Like we were talking about. But I think that example is so common in couples that we see,
mm-hmm,
right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
that could really be anybody.
I like that. You know, Harville Hendricks says that the thing we have the most difficulty with is to be loved, to receive love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right when our partner changes, this is a killer.
Yeah.
You know, the sexual distancer says, no, I really do want to have sex. And the partner says, oh, you know, you're just doing that because you want to make me happy, not because you really want it.
Yeah.
It's like they resist the change because it's not perfect, because they don't believe it. They don't have trust.
Mm.
I mean, to actually be loved and accept love, especially when you've been begging for it, right?
Oh, yeah.
You've been begging for it. And then your partner says, okay, I'll do that.
That's right.
And then it's like, no, it's a trick.
That's right.
It's a total trick.
Well, it requires vulnerability, right?
Yeah. To receive. And also it requires some grace, because, you know, when our partner starts to give it to us,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to be perfect.
No, absolutely.
I mean, I hear this with women all the time who say, well, the reason I turn him down is, you know, because he's not very seductive and all this. And then so he tries. And she's like, oh, you know, but it's fake. It's like, oh, come on. You know, give him a chance. I think the reason sex is so vulnerable to the ghost is because it is our most primitive need.
Mm.
You know, we desperately need to be held and touched. That's our survival as babies, as infants.
Mm.
And so sex is the adult version of that, to be touched, to be held, to have skin on skin bonding. And so that's why it goes all the way back to our infancy, to literally what happened to us as babies.
Mm.
And I want to say something to the sexual pursuers. Your sexual distancer had it worse. I'm going to say that again. People who grew up avoidant had it worse in childhood. I mean, the sexual pursuer, ironically, in adulthood is the screamer. You know, they're the ones who demand. And I say that crying babies marry good babies. And what I mean by that is that in infancy, children kind of say, okay, no matter what, on the pursuing side of it, they say, I'm going to scream loud enough to get my needs met. You know, when I'm hungry or wet or whatever, I'm going to just keep screaming. And I don't care who comes to help me. I just need to not be comfortable. But the avoidant baby, the distancing baby says, no. I don't like that angry face. I don't like the angry face. Mm. I don't like the angry face more than I feel uncomfortable.
Mm.
You know, so I'd rather be hungry. I'd rather be wet and avoid the angry face. So they learn to gurgle and coo and attract attention that way, but they won't be as confrontive. They won't go after their needs as much. And usually their needs were met a little bit less frequently or less stably than the pursuer baby. Not always, but in general. So if you're a sexual pursuer, I know you feel like you deeply need sex. You deeply have these needs for emotional connection. Hmm. But actually, the avoidant partner had it worse in childhood, and that's why they're a little less able to come towards you. Hmm. And if you can believe that, because it feels like in marriage, well, they just don't have any needs. My avoidant partner, they don't need sex. They don't really need connection. Hmm. The other thing that I was kind of chastised on, and rightly so, is oftentimes the men say, I am not the confident male seducer who always wants sex. I have a lot of anxiety, and that's true. I know that sometimes we go stereotypical here, right. That the male wants sex. Not so true, right? A lot of women want sex, and a lot of men want emotional connection. Absolutely need it before they're sexual. So, yeah.
I think that's very true as well. I'm hesitant and to say they had it worse. Maybe we can talk about this at another time, because there may emerge an imbalance into somebody's relationship if I see it as you're more broken than I am. But I don't think that's what you're saying.
No, I see the problem. I think, though, that avoidant children had to be more independent earlier than pursuing children. So children who come out of it anxiously attached, intermittently they had their needs met. Mm. Avoidant people didn't have their needs met as much, hardly. So they just say, they take this inner vow, I'm just not going to need.
Yeah.
And especially often, I'm not going to need sex, because this is the keenest need that children have is to be touched enough, to be held enough, good affection, healthy affection.
Yeah. I think I just don't want pursuing partners to then try to make their feel like their partner has to come up to their level, like where you're not going to make the
not only are they not enough now, but if they're more broken,
they have to go.
Oh, don't do that to them, please.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think they are.
I'm talking about
different mercy. Yeah,
that's
what I mean. I think you're right in that in the sense of this was a real big difference in upbringing and childhood. It was a deficit there, honestly, right? It was they either had a parent or a caregiver, like you're saying, that just was not as responsive to them, or was dealing with their own stuff or whatever it was, and not as attuned to the kid. And so to me, it's a difference in how they were brought up and the circumstances that happened to us. Pursuers have their own crap that they got to deal with, deal with as well. But I think that's the thing there. But how do we exercise the ghost of Christmas,
especially
past
at Christmas?
Yeah.
First of all, I would say set appropriate limits on the holidays with toxic family members. Mm. I mean, it's painful, but so many people are running around trying to make, if you come from a family where there's two sets of divorces, which my husband and I come from two families of two divorces, there were years that we were making the round with four or five kinds of groupings, right?
Oh, man.
Just to try to please them. And at some point we said, we're not happy on the holidays. We have to be happy. We are the next generation. We have to be happy. So, and sometimes I had a patient who said, my sister's always drunk. Mm. And so I told her she can't come to my house drunk and she can't get drunk at my house. And, and basically the sister can't come because she's an alcoholic. Mm. And that's awful. But on the other hand, you have to think about survival.
Yeah.
It's okay to set a limit there.
I think that's not just – those boundaries aren't just with toxic family members either. I think you have to set some space for just you as a couple to be able to have your own stuff as well. I mean, I think even if you have a good family, I think I enjoy spending time with Rebecca's family. I enjoy spending time with my family as well, right? But we are 4 or 5 days, and we're maxed out. Right.
Exactly.
Because it ceases to be us anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think having to be able to say that and draw some boundaries around us, because we need time for our own traditions, our own holiday celebrations with our kids, and it just making it us becomes very important as well.
And I think if you're going home to your family, definitely ask your parents, would you babysit one night and go out alone as a couple so that you have time to debrief all that toxicity or non-toxicity, just too much.
Just too much, yeah.
And you have a minute to reconnect with each other. I also think very favorite you know, fantasy is get away for an afternoon of Christmas shopping and just go to a hotel. So you're not making love in your childhood bedroom with your mom next door. You know, go to a hotel. Nobody will be the wiser. trust me on this. Trust me. Spend the money. Also, I think, you know, realize there's no Santa Claus.
What?
You know, I'm sorry.
What?
But we have to ask for what we want.
Okay.
That's the grown-up loss, is nobody can read our minds, and that is a necessary loss. We have to accept that.
They can't know us without us talking and saying what it is we need.
Nope.
I think there too, the accepting that it can still be genuine from that other person, right? When I say what I need and a partner responds to that need, I have to say that's genuine, that is a loving response. I can't say that they're only doing it because I told them to do it.
Right? I know.
So
people spend so much money on therapy, and then they go home and their partner acts in accordance with what we've agreed upon, and they say, you're just doing that because the therapist told
me.
I'm like, well, thank God.
Yes, that's what you're paying me for.
You know, they're actually implementing it, and now you're discounting it.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Which is damaging and sets you back.
Right. Yeah, and I think realizing that sex evolves, I mean, it takes a long time to have a sexual relationship be what you really want it to be. I know people think it should be the way it was with such and such, but there, you know, back then you had all this time, all this energy, all this youth. You know, all kinds of things were going on that were projective, that weren't really real. You know, you didn't see each other in terrible circumstances, paying bills, stretching a thin dime on Christmas. Yeah. You know, there were not those stressors.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think...
So boundaries, your own traditions, realize there is no Santa. You have to talk, and that sex evolves. Those are some great tips. Feel really solid with those.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Have a great one.
We love you. We thank you for following us. Bye-bye. Hey, help us stay on top here at 4Play. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take one sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.